I've had the privilege of joining with people around a table for a meal. It may be in a restaurant or a club or in someone's home, but there's nothing quite like being around a table with others. It is a real gift and a privilege to have that gift of time together. I love being around the table. And I also like when the food is served and you kind of get that long whiff. There's nothing quite like that, is there? You know, being around a table is a very intimate thing. It's more than just a mere formality. When you come around the table, you're nourished and nurtured. When you come around the table, it's a time to listen and to learn from others. When you come around the table, it's a time to show hospitality, compassion, and care. Is it any wonder that Jesus spent a lot of time around a table, having meals with people in the midst of his ministry? Over the next several weeks, we're taking a look at a series entitled Table Talks with Jesus. And in the series, we're going to have the opportunity to watch Jesus as he interacts with people around meals. Now, you might be wondering what's up here. The choir can see what's here. And it was suggested that I put a bucket of KFC up here. But Dwayne told me not to. Just wanted to let you know. So Dwayne, it's on you. That time around a table to learn about Jesus, to learn about the way he treated others, the way he interacted with others. The food's not so as is not as important as learning about who Jesus is and his kingdom, his compassion, and his care. And to watch how other people responded. And to think about how we would respond. So I invite you this morning to turn with me to Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 27. Follow along as I read God's word. Luke 5, 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they would be acceptable in your sight. For you are the very rock and redeemer of our lives. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to see you afresh. Help us to hear your words and hear your call to commitment for us. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. You know, it probably started out like a normal day for Levi. There he was, sitting outside of his tax booth. But it's helpful for us to know that tax collectors, at least in that culture, were very much hated and despised. Well, why, you might ask? It was because tax collectors worked for a foreign ruling entity or a foreign government. The tax collectors themselves were locals. They lived in the area, but they worked for that occupying administration. They collected taxes, they collected tolls, they collected customs taxes. It was before the day that we had Easy Pass, so it wasn't quite as easy to pay your taxes. And the prevailing system of the day allowed people, allowed these tax collectors to collect not just what was owed to the government, but to collect a little bit more, a portion for themselves. And there were many opportunities for excessive greed and unfairness. Now, a strict Jew would think that a Jewish tax collector would be an oxymoron. How can you do both? How can you be a good Jew and work for this occupying force? They were offended by the fact of simply being a tax collector. Why? Because tax collectors every day had to interact with Gentiles. And when they interacted with Gentiles, that made them ceremonially unclean. They would be regarded all the time as unclean. And so here we have Levi sitting in his tax booth. Jesus saw him and spoke to him. Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't avoid him? Jesus could have ignored him, and no one would have thought anything else about it. But Jesus didn't avoid him. He didn't ignore him. He spoke to him. For a good Jew, Jesus would be on the edge flirting here with uncleanness. But Jesus interacts with Levi and issues him an invitation. Follow me. Simple words, but not a simple action. And so as I was looking at this text, I'm wondering, did this come out of the blue? Did Levi know Jesus? Did Levi have any other interactions with Jesus at all? Maybe he heard Jesus teaching in the synagogue. Maybe he watched as Jesus healed someone. Or maybe he heard others talk about Jesus' teaching and Jesus' healing. We really don't know. But what we do know is this, that Jesus extended an invitation to someone who was despised and rejected by his very own people, a tax collector. And he gave Levi the opportunity to follow him. And Levi did. He got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. Leon Morris, in his commentary on Luke, says that this probably for Levi was a considerable sacrifice. There's a good chance that as a tax collector, whom we later know as the disciple Matthew, that he may have been the wealthiest disciple because of being a tax collector. That's speculation, but it's not unthinkable. Morris goes on to say that if following Jesus didn't work out for the fishermen, they probably could have gone back to the family business. But if following Jesus didn't work out for Levi, he was done. He wouldn't have a job. And so it raises the question, how would you respond to an invitation of grace? Levi accepted, because grace, when displayed, offers an invitation. And the impact of that grace was great. The next thing that we hear after Jesus' words, follow me, and Levi, leaving all and following Jesus, is that Levi throws a great banquet. It's what you do, right? Somebody you interact with changes your life and you want to tell your friends. You want to invite your friends and come see this guest of honor. That's what Levi did. And his guest list included his friends. The A-list, tax collectors. I mean, who else would a person like Levi invite? It's people he works with, tax collectors, and others. And then Jesus and his disciples are invited. They were eating together. And so we have this table here filled with food. I'd like to eat some of this. Not bad. That's what you do when you go to a party, isn't it? You eat, you drink, you socialize. Now, in Jesus' day, there was probably not a table and chairs so much as food arranged in a special way, maybe on the floor, because people would recline to eat. But this gives us an idea in our culture. It was a party. What do you do at a party? You eat, you drink, you socialize. The impact of Jesus' call to Levi was huge. It wasn't a small party. Did you see the words? A great banquet and a large crowd. This was a big deal. And I'm thinking it was probably a pretty good party at that. Grace, when displayed, offers an invitation. Now, you know, the funny thing about grace, it's not always met with approval. This banquet that Levi threw attracted the attention of others. You know how it is when someone in your neighborhood throws a party? Their driveway is filled with cars, and there's cars parked all the way along the neighborhood, so much sometimes that it's hard to get through, right? That happened in my neighborhood just before Christmas. Ruthie and I had a Christmas open house for our elders and their spouses. LaForge Road is not that wide. And here I see some of my neighbors smiling. Everybody knew that Siders had a party. And I think it was much in the same way that everyone in the neighborhood knew that Levi had the party. Or they found out very quickly, a whiff of grace was being displayed. And not everyone was happy. The Pharisees questioned what was going on. But did you notice they didn't ask Jesus or Levi what was happening? They complained to the disciples. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? There's a couple things we need to look at in this statement. First, the word complain. That's the same word that's used in the Old Testament of the Israelites in the wilderness complaining to Moses. And this complaining it kind of indicates a murmuring as a sign of displeasure. Grumbling and doing so in hushed tones or secretively makes sense. The Pharisees went to the disciples. Hey, why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners? Who called these other people sinners? We just learned that there were others who were invited. It's the Pharisees who make a judgment. You guys are sinners. These are sinners that are here with these tax collectors. You're associating with sinners. Clearly, the Pharisees wouldn't go to that party because they would be ritually unclean or ceremonially unclean. It was unthinkable, at least to the Pharisees, that Jesus would even think of being with such people, of eating and drinking with them. Because doing so meant friendship. Doing so meant full acceptance of the people and their lifestyle. And so the Pharisees asked the disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" But the disciples don't answer. Jesus does. And Jesus' response is pointed. "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Not only does Jesus issue invitations to sinners and forgive sinners, he freely associates with them. The scholar Derek Bach hits the nail on the head when he says this. He says, "Jesus' message is not about quarantine, but recovery." Think about that for a second. Jesus' message is not about quarantine, but about recovery. It's not about labeling people and say, "Okay, you're sick, you stay over there. No one's going to associate with you. I don't want to associate with you." But Jesus' ministry is helping people become who they were meant to be from the beginning of creation. Those who know that they need help will respond to the doctor. And those who don't think they need help will rely on themselves. How often do we rely on ourselves rather than relying on the one who created us and knows every single thing about us? See, the Pharisees had convinced themselves that they were doing everything correctly, and they were not in the need of forgiveness, of the forgiveness that Jesus brought or that Jesus brings. Jesus issued an invitation. Grace, when displayed, offers an invitation. And so a couple questions for you this morning. Where are you in this story? Are you one of Levi's friends? One of the outsiders? One of the people who is considered to be a sinner? Or are you one of the Pharisees? One of the teachers of the law? Grumbling your displeasure to the disciples, making judgments about the acceptability or unacceptability of others? And where does Jesus fit in? How would you respond to Jesus? How would Jesus respond to you? When have you gotten a whiff of grace? Where have you gotten a whiff of grace? Grace, when displayed, offers an invitation. How will you respond?